I'm really excited for this conversation today. I've had a few conversations now with Otto, who's here with me, and they've all been incredible. So to now have them recorded and shared, I cannot wait. So my guest today is Otto Collins, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Recorded for all time, you know, for now, forevermore. We'll be live on recording. This is awesome. Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this conversation. Again, all the other ones we've had have been amazing, and I can't wait to dive in. So I could do an introduction of who you are and what you're about, but who knows you better than you? So if you'd like to do a little introduction just of who is Otto Collins?
Oh my golly, what a question. You know? You know, I could answer that so many ways. I'll go practical for a moment, and then we'll go spiritual and philosophical. I play many roles. I'm a banker. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a life coach. I'm a spiritual seeker. I'm a child of God. I am a creator. I'm so many things on so many levels. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the short version of who I am, but we can dive into any of those things.
Yes. And I love the language you even use there, right? All the different roles that you play. We all have so many of them. We're all so complex and so simple at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was a very young person. I mean, I'm talking maybe, I don't think this is too normal, but I'm guessing I was somewhere between 13 and 15 years old. And I started living with the questions, who am I? How did I get here? And what's this all about? And it's like, those were pretty powerful questions for somebody really young. I mean, because my father was a, what I'll call a country preacher. And so I started exploring those things, not from a religious standpoint, but just, I got really curious. And I know you're a fan of curiosity.
I was just going to say, right? I mean, those are big questions, not just for young people, but for anybody. So how far have you made it in the adventure of those questions, Otto, the exploration?
I've gotten pretty far, actually. Yeah, because, I mean, who am I? I started creating something. I'm not completely happy with it, but something called my document. And this was sort of, it comes from the book, The Ultimate Coach, Steve Hardison, who some folks may be familiar with, who's a coach and a teacher and a way shower in some ways for a lot of folks. And when I think of who I am, the first line of my document is, I am the created and I am the creator. So some entity, some being, some spiritual force, some people call it God, some people call it wisdom, some people call it dog, some people have all kinds of names for it. And I'm not trying to be, you know, any way other than to say that there's a force that guides all of us, and I and everybody else and everything was created by that. And the really awesome thing is I am also a creator. So I get the privilege and the joy of creating my life, creating my relationships, creating everything.
Yeah, it's fun, right? So the folks that have followed the podcast for a while, they've heard me share my document on my podcast. They've heard Daryl Sweeney share his. And for you to reference it again, right? It's just such a powerful reminder that language is important and we get to create ourselves in certain lights, in certain ways of being. So I'm curious, Otto, like, what are your favorite things to create?
My favorite thing that I have created and I continue to create is my relationship with the woman that I call the Incredible Susie. The other thing that probably a close second would be in the way of a creation would be my relationship with my adult son, because I left his mother when he was 8. And it would be so easy to leave somebody and have your child kind of get lost in all of that. But he and I have such a great relationship, and we talk on a regular basis. We consciously choose to spend time together. We text message back and forth. And from what I can figure out, that's rare in this world. Not everybody has that kind of relationship with their adult children. And I do. So as a creation, that would be certainly second. It feels like I've had 10 or 15 lives in one. I've had a wonderful life in so many ways.
Oh, I love that. And I know that we'll circle back to a couple different things that you just shared there, but I'd love to kind of start with an exploration of how you see the creation process in relationship, right? Whether it be with the incredible Susie or with your adult son or with anybody who's looking to create relationship in their life.
I think the starting place is the question, what do you want? And where that question gets interesting for me, Christina, is most people, when they're in relationship with people, what they want seems to be affected greatly by how they think that their life would be better if someone else were different, if someone else would only change, and so forth. But what I've seen is, when I really tune into the question, what do I want? I want connection. I want passion. I want to feel a vibrancy and alive. I want to have a connection on multiple levels. I want to have fun. And I want to do things and be a part of things that, are the word I keep coming back to is connection. But really feeling that love and the aliveness and the just two people in connection and love. Oh, what a feeling.
Well, I know, I'm getting all jittery over here just hearing you talk about it.
Yeah.
So what gets in the way of that for people? Because I think so many people want that, what you're describing, and have trouble accessing it.
One of the biggest things that gets in the way of that is their story or stories. And then their stories start creating something that I call the shoulds. So where it gets really fun is to explore is in a lot of relationships, the very things that attract you to somebody in the very beginning are the very things that after a while you start wanting to try to manipulate and change in that other person. Your focus becomes on the things that would make your life better if they were only different. I remember, I'm going to take this really down to the mundane.
Perfect.
I remember when I was with my ex-wife, there was something that she would do that, as I look back on it, I mean, what a fun thing that she did, but it drove me crazy, which was we would be out at a restaurant and typically a server might say to you, what can I get you or how can I help? She would always respond in a very fun way of, $1 million. And it's like, wait a minute, you're just, I had all these stories around this and I made her wrong for that. And where the wrong comes in is she should be different. We all do this in all kinds of relationships is we start looking for what is not good, we start looking for what we would like to have changed. You know, we start looking for what's wrong in that other person. We start looking for how they could be better. And of course, all of this falls under the category of what I call welcome to the world according to, and you fill your name in the blank there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's one of the big places where it's a true block, is when you start to look at the other person in such a way. And essentially what you're doing is you're creating them in a negative way. You're creating them in your mind as this person that is flawed in some way. And you know what? You can just as easily create them as somebody that's amazing and wonderful, and somebody that, you know, you love connecting with, you love being with. You can just as easily do that as you can the opposite way.
Yeah, this is really interesting and something I've been exploring a lot too. Where does that line live, in your opinion, your perspective, Otto, of creating someone in your own mind, right? The way you're thinking about them versus what you are seeing in the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So here's where the line is for me, is there are what I call conscious and unconscious agreements that you have when you are with somebody. Where the line is for me is when you actually have an agreement with somebody about how you're going to be together in relationship, and they keep going past that line. So as a very practical example, my wife and I, the incredible Susie, we have an agreement. Now, this may seem really, really simple, but we have an agreement that we're not going to have sex with other people. So now that may sound really simple, but we have that agreement. And we haven't talked about this in probably 20 years, but way back when, we actually had an agreement that if there was ever an occasion where we wanted to, we would talk to the other person first. Now, understand, we haven't talked about that in 20 years because there hasn't been a desire or an interest, but it's just fascinating to, you know, where you can go with that.
Yeah, and I think what you're pointing towards, expectations versus agreements, and the power that agreements have. So from your perspective, right, and for context here as well, like Otto, you are a coach specifically around love and relationships.
Yeah.
So where would you guide people towards the power of living in agreement with relationships? What does that look like in your relationship with the incredible Susie? Right, outside of the fundamentals here of, you know, we have sex with just each other.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, again, I'm going to bring it down to the very practical. It's like, where would you like to go on vacation? What would you like to do when we go? And then you have an actual conversation about what she would like, what I would like, and then you see where the synergy is. Yeah, it's something that's as simple as that, of having conversations that where the expectations kind of get washed away. That, well, wait a minute. You know, like it could even be something as simple as, let's say that we need to buy a new washing machine for our home. Who's going to pay for this? We actually talk about that stuff. Who's going to pay for it? And, you know, like there might be times where we'll go to dinner. She may buy the dinner one time. I may buy it the next. Or she may say, hey, look, you bought the dinner last night. I'm going to buy these, you know, this particular thing here. And so it's having what I'll call conscious conversations about, and so the expectations, you know, they fall by the wayside when you talk about how you're going to actually be together.
Yeah, it's so fun because it's so simple. And most people get in their way here all the time. And like, again, my hand goes up first. I have absolutely been there. And I know that I still will, but I'm also really committed to going back to communicating and being really clear and really direct. And it is an exploration of how can people up level the relationships that they have through that level of kind of intentional creating.
Yeah. Let's go back to expectations. I mean, really simple communication. Let's say that we're going to go out with, let's say we're going to meet some friends somewhere. Let's say we're going to meet them at 7 o'clock. And let's say that we need to leave at 6:40. Well, we actually talk about that. And we say, we actually run back the time. It's like, okay, we'll check in with each other. Okay, so if we need to be at such and such a place at 7 o'clock, we need to leave at 6:40. Is that what you're seeing? Okay, then we're both going to get dressed or we're both going to be ready at 6:40. And then we leave at 6:40. Instead of, oh my God, you're late again. Yeah. But the magic here is you got to have buy-in from both people that they actually want to, number one, create agreements. They want to have communication and that their word, it's not even their word. It's talking about stuff and doing stuff that you're a partnership. You're a team. And, it's deciding, oh, okay, well, this makes sense to us. Yeah.
I love that word that you just used. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. In your mind, Otto, what is the difference between partnership and relationship?
You can be in relationship, well, not can be. You are in relationship with every human on the earth at some level. But partnership, I think that's a conscious, that if you're doing it right, that's a conscious creation. We've decided that we're going to be together in certain ways. A partnership can be a business partnership where you come together with some other people, you decide this is what I'm going to bring to the table, the other person decides this is what they're going to bring, and then the synergy of your gifts actually makes the whole thing work. Same thing in marriage or intimate relationships or dating or whatever. Is a partnership is you decide this is how we're going to be together. And here's the cool part. It's not fixed and permanent, meaning you can change the dynamics anytime you want, as long as you and the partner agree to how the changes are going to happen. So it's not this fixed thing that you're so locked in on all the time. It's fluid. And if something needs to shift and change, yeah. Yeah. There have been a lot of things. I mean, the incredible Susie and I, this is year 26 for us, and things are a lot different in certain ways for us now than they were, you know, in year one or year two or year six or whatever. But we continue to create these things and really take a look at them. Okay, well, how do we want to be together? I keep going back to that question, but that's a question people don't ask themselves.
Yeah. And you mentioned before too, right? Really having some buy-in from the other person. So I guess one of the questions too is how do you create buy-in or how do you generate that together?
Well, the question I just used, which was by talking with them about how they want to be in relationship with you. Now, it can sound like that's really this, but it can be fun as a creation instead of this laborious act that is fixed and feels like hard work. Because that's what most people think about relationships is. I mean, this is hard work. Well, I can tell you what hard work is. Hard work is getting a divorce. Hard, you know, that's hard work. Hard work is fighting all the time. Hard work is really the epitome of hard work. It's all the stuff that's painful in relationship. So when you compare what is required to create something amazing, it's nowhere near the hard work of the creation that you would do when you're creating what you don't want in a relationship.
And so often we're so good at keeping that out, like keeping the amazing pieces, the magic, kind of at arm's length.
Yeah.
And I know one of my downfalls in the past, and something I'm still working on as well, right, is releasing the need to be right on things. When you were talking about asking Susie, like, where do you want to go on vacation? We can ask a partner that, but if we really want to go to, you know, Disney, let's say.
Yeah.
And then we're holding on to, well, this is what I want, and I'll ask you out of obligation. I don't really care, right, what your input is. That's very different than really being curious and asking from a place of trying to align and figure it out, instead of I have an opinion and I want mine to be right. And when I'm right, then I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, that's where it comes in to having conversations about that would go sort of like when you're talking to your partner, you know, something I would really like to do. I would really love to go on vacation to Disney. Now, I know this may not be your idea of such a great time, but is that something you would be willing to entertain? I'd actually have that conversation. Because one of two things is going to happen when you take the judgment and you take the right and wrong out of it. It's they either want to go with you or they don't. And then you've got options of you can go by yourself or draft a friend.
Yeah. So Otto, you keep telling me it's coming down to communicating.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, communicating is so easy when you're coming from a place of love, when you're coming from a place of wanting to create something special. Communication is so easy when you are looking for the good in others and when you're coming from a place of openness, from vulnerability, from wanting to truly connect. And you used the word a little while ago, you know, instead of wanting to be right, instead of holding on to some kind of position that, you know, it's got to be my way or no way or to prove somebody else is wrong. Yeah. And one of my, you know, I mean, one of my relationship pet peeves is sarcasm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah. I mean, I just, whenever I hear somebody, two people in relationship with sarcasm, I think that underneath that, there's some anger somewhere. And the other thing is, in where I live, there's a commercial that a TV commercial that runs quite frequently, because I'm a sports fan. And there's one of my favorite sporting teams is the Cincinnati Reds Major League Baseball team. And there's a commercial that runs with a former announcer and his wife. And in this commercial about ground beef or meat is they're portraying the other person as, you know, no, my way of cooking this is better. No, my way is doing that. And every time Susie and I see that commercial, we say, there is no way in the world we would go on TV and make the other person wrong about a simple way, about the best way to make a meatloaf or a hamburger. I would never make my partner wrong about something like that because there is no right or wrong way.
And we're so attached to our way.
Oh my God.
Working to release that has been something I'm continually kind of growing into.
Yeah.
And with this whole world, right? I'm sure this has been a ongoing and evolving journey for you. You didn't pop onto earth and just had it all figured out.
Right.
So What have some of the struggles that you've overcome, and what have you kind of learned in the process? Any moments that really stand out to you as like really big learnings?
Well, I mean, the journey, there's so many things I could say about that. But one of the biggest things is when I decided to leave my first marriage, I left with the, not just goal, but I left with the determined intention and decision, I'm going to figure out how to have a great relationship, because I didn't know how to have one. Because when I look back on it now, not in that moment, not in the decision-making process of leaving, because I was the one that left, but as I look back on it now, oh my golly, I was just as much of a contributor, if not more so, to whatever problems or challenges we had. I just didn't see it. And so when I made the decision to leave, during that whole process, my commitment to myself, and I use the word commitment, was I'm going to figure this out. And when you make the commitment, I'm going to figure this out, what that means is you got to be willing to take a look at your stuff. You got to be willing to take a look at how you're showing up. You got to be willing to take a look at how you're in relationship with people. You got to be willing to take a look at the, you know, the kind of the judgments that you're living out of with people. You got to look at how you're communicating with them. Everything is, you're looking at everything, literally.
And I relate to this a lot. I left a long-term relationship, and I've done a lot of work around how I was showing up there as well, seeing my part in it, seeing it's so easy to point the finger outside of us, right? That this thing that I have is not what I want, but it's not my fault. I didn't create it.
Yeah.
But to see we are always creating, right? The perfect system for what's showing up, and figuring out ways like, okay, well, if I can create that, I can also create something different. And it points back to the whole conversation we've had so far, where you were asking yourself like, well, what is it that I want? And first getting really clear kind of in that direction first.
Yeah. And what is it that I really want? A lot of times, you know, as I say, that it goes back to, it's like going a layer deeper with what do I really want? Not what would make me feel good in this moment, but what do I really want is, okay, I'm really upset right now. And what I really want is to stay in connection and to stay in love. And sometimes it might be the best thing I can possibly do is keep my mouth shut and let the energy run through my body and let the emotions pass, and they always pass, and then come back when my thinking is fresh and new. And it's totally different. It's totally shifted.
That feels so powerful. I want to stay on that for a minute.
Yeah.
Right. Going deeper than what we think we want.
Yeah.
And really focusing in on, okay, if my goal is love and connection, and, you know, your mind is spitting at you that you want to be right in the moment, and being right does not bring you closer to being connected or loved, or to be loving or be connecting. That's a choice that we get to make.
Every single moment. Every moment. Yeah.
So when you're looking at kind of the world of relationship or partnership, right? What would you say are some of the big factors that really get in the way for people outside of communication?
I would also say, not being clear on what you want. And, you know, I've thought about this a lot. This gets fun for me is, let's take somebody that, that is dating. And I've heard this, but, you know, somebody will say, you know, I'm out here in the dating world. Okay. Well, have you ever stopped to consider what it is you want when you're in the quote unquote dating world? Do you want to have a good time? Are you looking for a potential life mate? Are you looking for a one-time, one-off fling of some kind? What is it that you really want? Going back to that question. And most people don't stop to ask themselves that question. Is, well, I'm a serial dater. Okay. Well, how does that work for you? You know, what is it that you, what do you want? What do you get? What's, you know, how does that enrich your life? And so some people may say, yeah, I just want to have a good time. Other people, they're not sure what they want. And so it comes back to me of not having any clarity of what it is that you want.
So what would you say about the people that know what they want and are having trouble creating it, right? The people that say, I want a long-term partner and there's no good people left out there. Everybody that's good is taken, right? That type of story.
Yeah, you got to look at what is the story that's in the way of reality. Okay. Because the reality is you could fall in love with anybody if you so chose.
This is so good. Keep going.
Yeah, you could fall in love with anybody. I mean, I know I'm dating myself here, but I don't know, what, 30 years ago, there was this movie where Brooke Shields and some other, I can't remember the other actor's name, they're on a deserted island. The two of them, they absolutely hate each other, and then they end up falling in love. This is the way it works. If you start looking for the good in somebody else, you will find it. If you start looking for the bad, you will find it. There's no two ways about it. And we don't see this. We miss it. We miss the simplicity of what I'm saying here.
And that's why I'm hearing it and capturing it. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation, that the story is in the way of reality, right? Most people point to reality as saying that's the problem. And understanding in this language, I think, is a bit overused, but that we create a reality.
Yeah.
Right? Our perception of different experiences kind of give us that storyline of our current reality, and seeing when we look for the good in people, we find it. When we look for the bad in people, we find it. Really, it doesn't matter what you're looking for. If you're looking for the reasons it's not working, you'll find them.
Yeah.
If you're looking for the reasons it is working, you can also find those. So it feels like a game of focus and attention.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people do this with pets. Oh, I just got this new dog and she is so adorable and she's so loving and she's so amazing. And I'm just seeing that this dog just tore up all this person's furniture.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, and again, it's, you know, you're creating your reality. I'm seeing that, look, you got to replace the couch here because this dog has destroyed it. But it's the most loving, the most amazing, the most kind animal. I mean, that's the way people do the same thing with dogs, with cats, with people. They have their story about how things are.
Yes, and we all do. And again, I'm one of those people, right? To figure out, like, man, how do we start understanding that better and using it better to enhance our lives? And we've talked about this in some of our other conversations.
Yeah.
Right. I know you're a big advocate that even if your relationship right now is great, there is still a better, even greater version available.
Yeah. Yeah. What? To tune into a question like, what could be better than this? You know, what could be better than this? And truly be in service to that question that's really a thought-provoking, curiosity-filled question. You know, what could be better than this? And really sit in the question. What would we want that could be even better? And not coming at that question from a place of anything's wrong, but looking at, this is so amazing. What could we do to make it even better? See, that's where the shift is. Most people want to start with what's wrong. What if you started with what was right and you built on that?
It's so good. And it's so simple.
So simple.
In general, one of the things I've looked at this whole year has been simplifying.
Yeah.
And we fight the simplicity of this.
Yeah.
Like most people are like, oh, it's not that easy, Otto. You don't understand my world and my relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it can be that simple.
Yeah. It really can be.
And not only it can be, I really think it just is.
As a creation, if you choose it to be. Absolutely.
It's really fun for me to think about the fact we are creating all the time, right? We're either creating relationships that are working for us and are working really well, or we're creating relationships that are creating opportunities to grow and learn and shift and change and transform. And in my opinion, this is definitely my perspective here, but I believe that relationships and partnerships are like the greatest vehicles for kind of growth and change that we have available.
It's the greatest personal growth tool in the world. One of the phrases I like to use is we rub up against each other's edges all the time. Because the people that you are in relationship with, they're going to bring up all the stuff. They're going to bring it up within you so that you can have a choice to look at it. You can ignore it or you can fight it. And if you choose to look at it, the place I believe to look at it from is not how can I make them wrong for showing up in a certain way, but when you are coming, when you're in relationship with someone and it's so easy to make them wrong, to see the bad. But one of the things I like to do is ask the question of what can I learn from them? What can I learn from them about this? How can I, how can I show up differently in situations like this? I mean, it's so, you've used the word several times. It's so simple, but to really sit in questions like that of, how can I see the situation differently?
And what's interesting here is it's kind of going back to this other idea that there's just layers and levels always available.
Yeah.
Right. That it's not this place to get to, like, no. Oh, I shouldn't have to have this conversation again, or I shouldn't be navigating this, or this shouldn't be coming up. I should be there already. This shouldn't be a problem. Like all that thinking I'm seeing more and more, like what you're speaking to is like the learning mindset, right? Just when you're willing to see learning in everything, that doesn't end and there's no wanting it to end. You're like, oh, this is just something else that popped up that I now get to learn from and understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in my world with Susie, I'm really shocked that she doesn't hold something against me because of what I'll call my recycling disability. I have a deficiency in there's a character defect, there's a flaw within me that for whatever reason, recycling things is so confusing to me. Okay, is it this thing that we throw away and this thing we recycle? What do these numbers mean and all this kind of stuff? And I think she explains this to me probably once a week for 26 years. And she's, you know, she, occasionally, you know, the city where we live, they'll send out a little chart and she'll post it on the refrigerator and she'll sometimes direct my attention that this might be helpful. And, but she continues to love me, even though, well, somehow I have this deficiency, you know, and I'm being funny here, but also it's in so many relationships, it's, I can't believe you can't figure out this very simple thing called recycling. I just, you don't care. You really don't. I mean, how can I be with someone that doesn't care about recycling? I mean, this is so simple. I mean, just look at the chart. It's right here. Right there. Or yeah. I'm just going to love you anyway.
Going back to choosing and choice.
Yeah.
And it's interesting too, because I've watched this in my own relationships over time that have ended. And I see it in the world around me now that I've become more aware of, again, how we create people in our own kind of mind's eye with the language that we use by thinking about them. Yeah. Right? Do we think they're amazing? Do we create them to be amazing, like the incredible Susie?
Yeah.
Right? Nobody would actively walk around, you know, saying the terrible Susie. Like, that's...
Oh, but they do.
I know, but they don't see it as that, right? They don't see the creation of how they're creating their partner. It becomes this like slow drip. Right? Yeah. Like the slow drip over time where all of a sudden you land somewhere and you look at someone, you're like, oh, this is, you're not the person that I want to be with, because for so many years or so many months, I've slowly been chipping away at all the amazing parts of them. And that's hard to see.
Well, the other thing that you're doing is you're keeping score. Yeah. Because, and the problem with keeping score in a relationship is that one person gets to be superior and the other person gets to be inferior, and one person gets to be better than, the other person gets to be less than. And pretty soon that starts to show up and take the whole thing sideways.
Yeah. Scorekeeping is one of those things that goes back to, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm better, you're worse.
Yeah.
All that language of, and then not just that, right? If we have the scorekeeping, it's what we make it mean that my score is higher than your score.
And we're horrible scorekeepers.
So bad.
We're so bad. I mean, Christina, we're so awful. Because, you know, the first thing that starts to pop up when we start keeping score is you always, you never. No, it's not you always and you never. It's, well, one time last week you did this.
Yeah, generalizing is huge, right? Painting with a broad brush there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what would you say, Otto, to people who are listening that are either in relationship or want to be? Like, what's the goal of relationship? What's possible in relationship with people?
Well, the goal is going to be whatever you decide it is. But for me, the goal is about connecting at a heart, mind, and soul level, and you just keep doing that in each moment and in each moment and in each moment. And one day you look back and you're together for 30 years, or you're together for 6 months, or you're together for 2 days. But you keep showing up from this place of total love, total sharing of who you are, and you be an offering to them without holding back, because there's nothing ever to hold back. There's never a reason to hold back. And you show up from that place and you've got magic. You've got connection. You've got love. And you just keep creating it, and it continues to grow and to blossom. And you just keep doing that. It's pretty awesome. And everybody has their own version of that. And that's going to show up differently in every day, you know, today versus yesterday or tomorrow or next week. But the connection, you know, and having fun and just in, you know, how can you enjoy being together and walking through life together? Yeah. But everybody gets to decide their version of that. There's no right, there's no wrong. I know there's people that are good friends of mine who post stuff online who are people I respect deeply that have totally different views about relationship than I do because they say it needs to be a certain way, you know, because you've got people's spiritual beliefs coming into play, their religious beliefs, their beliefs basically of this is the way I see the world and it should be this way. And if it's not, it's a problem. Yeah. Everybody's got their own path.
And that's, I think, for me, really fun. Like, there's no one right path. You get to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think the figuring out is in the asking of the questions, right? Some of the questions that we kind of ping-ponged around here today.
Yeah.
And that we both do on our spare time because it's fun to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with everything we talked about today and just where you are currently in your life and your continuous learning in relationship with the world all the time, what are you in the process of creating right now, Otto?
Well, on a practical level, Susie and I, by the time this podcast gets released, we will have released our brand new book, Big Fat Love, into the world. And the beauty of that is just simply this. It's showing people that more is on offer than they can see for themselves. And that's the reason that we did it. So that's one of the things I'm creating. And I'm also creating this coaching business that is in the process of becoming magnificent and is in the process of becoming game-changing in life and relationship-changing for lots of people and in various forms. And that is exciting to see that by these very simple ideas that I know work in relationship, if you work them, your relationship and your life can change if you're open to that. And that's what I'm creating is I'm continually creating ways to show up and serve people in that way and have them to see that, yeah, they can have so much more love than they can see for themselves right now. And they just have to be willing to see it and open to that.
Yeah, there's always another level available to us that we haven't seen. And you know, I've already told you this, I'm really excited to dive into Big Fat Love and give that a read and explore everything that's in there, all the goodness, all the content. And with the coaching practice, right, to help other people unwind their own misunderstandings, miscommunications, whatever's going on that's getting in the way.
Yeah.
If you ask me, I think love is the coolest thing in the whole world. Like,
oh, yeah.
Partly because it makes no sense whatsoever, like no logical sense. And I'm such a logical person that I love stepping outside of it.
Yeah.
And for me, love is a fun place to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, this, there's always an opportunity for you to ask to receive help from a crowdsourced podcast.
Yeah.
So, what, if anything, came to mind, Otto, that you would like to receive some help for this year?
If there's anybody listening, if you feel called in some way to check out Big Fat Love, please do that. If there's, if you've got a podcast, if you've got, you know, if anything of what I've said seems like it would be of value to your audience, yeah, I'm happy to show up and, if there's just anybody that wants to have a deeper conversation about anything, I'm open to that. but just, I'm just here to serve, you know? And I think that when we get to the end of our life and we look back, love is going to be the only thing that's going to matter. It's not going to matter how much money we've had. You know, it's not going to matter, you know, which $85,000 vehicle we've purchased. It's not going to matter. You know, how many houses, none of that. It's going to be the love we've shared and the love we've received. And that is, you know, when we get to the end of our life and look back, that's what we're going to value. And I know that that's true for me, and I know that's true for a lot of people. And we allow the fears that are running the show in our life to take over and to keep driving the bus when we don't have to. We keep thinking that these fears and these doubts are the thing that's real, and they're not. They are our thoughts that are happening in the moment that we're believing and making real and we're calling reality. It's almost never the case. And anybody can have something more than they do right now. Everybody.
I feel like that's wrapped up so nicely with what you had said earlier, right? That we all have a story in the way of our own reality.
Yeah.
Right. It's not that the reality is, you know, the problem. It's we have a story that's in the way of the reality that's on the other side of it.
Yeah. If you want to take that really just for a second down to the practical, it's so let's say somebody doesn't show up for a date on time. Partner comes home from work 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, an hour late. You have the event that happens, and then you have your story about what that means. So you have the event, the thing that happened. It's irrefutable, indisputable. This thing happened. Everything else is a made-up story about it. The more you live with the made-up story, the more pain I think you're going to have in your life. When you could look at whatever happens and you could create a story that would make total sense, that would also be something that created more love. You mentioned earlier that where's that line and where's that boundary? Yeah, there are times in people's lives where boundaries get violated and things like that. And you certainly want to be mindful of that. And then, you know, you have the opportunity to create something different. You don't want to go through life with blinders on, but you also want to, you don't want to be creating something that isn't real and isn't true. You want to be creating something magical and special and, you know, just totally beautiful.
And to add to that tip and practicality, one of my favorite things here is I'll ask myself, is it true or does it feel true?
Yeah.
Right. I hear this all the time with language, like, well, it feels really true. Like anytime I hear myself saying it feels true, I know that it's not. It's just my feeling, which is my thinking.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's a big difference between, well, anytime you're in your thinking, you know that that's not true. Yeah. That you're living in the made up land of, you know, I'm in my story here. Yeah.
And that can serve us in so many fun ways, like we talked about today, right? Using that intentionally to create people to be amazing, to be incredible, to be unbelievable partners. And that more often than not seems to not be the case. But hopefully with more of these conversations where, like you said, it's kind of a way showing, like, hey, there's something else available to you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, my hope here is that somebody picks up something in this conversation and they want to give it a try.
Yeah.
Like, they don't trust us that it's working. They're going to go test it out. Like, what if I started creating my relationship in a different way and watch that kind of thrive and flourish from there?
That simple question that you just asked is so powerful. What if I created my relationship in a different way? Because that's filled with such, there's expansion within that question. I love that. I love that.
It feels like a beautiful bow. So we can ask that to everybody at the end of this conversation is, how would you like to create your relationship from this point forward? It's a hard question to answer if you've never looked at it before, and it doesn't have to be. Yeah. If you want to explore it with someone, I would say I'll leave your information auto in the little box thing so that people can connect with you and maybe explore it, not just on their own, but in conversation with you as well.
Yeah, I'm happy to have those conversations.
Well, thank you for this excellent conversation that is now recorded and for everybody else to continue listening to. Thank you for your time and talking all things with me.
My pleasure to be here. It's great to be with you as always. And my desire is people, create something magical and special and amazing. Yeah, they can do that. Yeah. And you can too.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Keep walking towards fear.